Welcome to the Speaker's Practice and our Friday Forum. Hi, I'm Adrienne McLean, the founder of the Speaker's Practice. The Friday Forum is for business people. This is a free 30-minute session where you will meet amazing business people who have experience in a wide variety of topics. You will hear fabulous approaches from experts in their field. Today, we're thrilled to have Tom Skatidis, founder of Skatidis, Asia Pacific's leader in B2B social media lead generation. Prior to Skatidis, Tom served as the head of marketing and business development of the search engine marketing agency First Rate. In just under 4 years, he grew the agency from an office of 2 staff into one of Australia's largest search marketing agencies, with 25 staff generating $7 million in annual billings. Half of those billings, or $3.5 million, came from clients that Tom met, nurtured and signed using social networks. Today, Tom and his team work with global B2B organisations across Australia, New Zealand, Singapore and Hong Kong, using social networks to generate B2B leads for their sales forces. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us today. I've been looking forward to hearing your recommendations and suggestions for lead generation.
Thanks, Adrienne. Great to be here.
Just to briefly go through, the Speaker's Practice offers practical and educational programs to develop presentation skills in the workplace. We have a presentation skills workshop called the Speakers Training Camp. We have a presentation and video program that's running next Friday and in 2 weeks' time. We have a business speakers forum and special occasion programs. So today the topic is how to create a LinkedIn group and to generate qualified leads and sales leads and revenue. Our first question is looking at what are the benefits of creating and maintaining a LinkedIn group as opposed to using other social media?
Well, a group is more of an organizational asset, really. It differs from a lot of social networking, which is one-to-one connections or one-to-one mutual follows, like on Twitter, in that it's more of a social shell, a social forum, a group that contains members forever, unless the member decides to leave the group. But for organizations that believe in person-to-person social selling, but also want to ensure that they protect themselves against any one of their staff leaving them one day, but continuing the social relationship, LinkedIn groups are a great asset for that permanent engagement with members who one day could become customers or partners.
It's connecting people on a specific topic and keeping them engaged.
That's right. So if you're an organization that sells to chief information officers or to operations managers or to small business owners, you can actually create a themed group around that topic. So if you want to attract small business owners who are interested in corporate travel or business travel as they're growing their businesses, and you sell corporate travel or business travel services, you might create a group around that. And rather than naming it after your own brand, which might reduce your potential membership by up to 50 or 60%, and we can discuss why later, you might call it corporate travel or business travel strategies for small business owners, Australia, New Zealand. That's an example of a group, a community that would be quite attractive to small business owners that have businesses or who have businesses that are growing and require significant business travel. They will join this group because they perceive immediate commercial value in the discussions that will take place. They will learn things, they'll network with others who have similar issues. And this can be achieved with people connecting with people and having that conversation one-to-one. But as I said, it's not as scalable as having a group that can keep growing to thousands of members. Mm-hmm. And from the organization side, you can deploy your own people into the group as group managers to deal and talk to and serve and give insights to all of these potential customers and partners.
The group topics are specific to issues around the target market, I suppose.
That's right. They must always be completely aligned and relevant to the needs of the target audience. Social media for B2B organizations, where I specialize, is a person-to-person game in its majority. B2B has always been a person-to-person game in how deal flow works. And groups allow for person-to-person engagement to take place. But we're not here to sell in the traditional sense. We are here to serve overwhelming insights and ideas and help our target audience become better at what they do, uncover needs they never considered, help them find solutions to those needs through conversation. Mm-hmm. And the conversation isn't fluffy, and it's not just conversation for conversation's sake. Everything we share is about helping our group's members advance their purchasing decision by equipping them and giving them content, comments, insights that help them discover needs or understand solutions that exist in the market. And this is what a forum or a group's all about. The benefit to companies is by deploying group managers from within their own ranks, the personal brands of those group managers are significantly enhanced. And these managers can then create relationships that they can actually reach out to create meetings from.
Let's get into the next question, which is, what are the steps in creating a LinkedIn group?
Well, I'm just on LinkedIn right now, and if you go to the interests, so on the menu bar on your LinkedIn homepage under interests, there's a link called groups. So you'd visit this this section, mm-hmm. and there you can actually create a group. Creating a group is easy. It's intuitive. Just follow the instructions that LinkedIn offers. Mm-hmm. The hard part is not the creation of it. The creation is merely a 10-minute process, mm-hmm. Setting it up, naming it, attaching settings to it. Mm-hmm. And again, the information is on LinkedIn, and you can simply Google how to set up a LinkedIn group. There's heaps of instruction on how to do that. Mm-hmm. The real benefit in this discussion we're having, Adrienne, is it's not the setting up. It's setting it up right. Yeah. For ultimately generating business relationships, mm-hmm. that you can convert into meetings and sales. And to do that, you have to think really hard about who is your target audience. Mm-hmm. Define them really well. Mm-hmm. Where do they live and work? What are their job titles? What companies do they work for? What industries are they in? Mm-hmm. And most of all, what are their business nightmares? They're really big problems. What are they pacing around their room at night thinking about in terms of their professional status, yeah. and the viability of their target achievement? Are they going to hit targets? Why aren't they? What's preventing them? Uncover the key trends in the industry that anyone would be thinking about. Map them out on a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. Literally, just write out every single problem and nightmare that your target audience is facing from a professional level, which you can solve using your company's products and services. Yeah. Once you've mapped these out, you can then start coming up with group names that sound as if they can solve one of those major issues. And that's the secret to group naming, is forming a name that when the buyer or the prospect encounters it, they feel as if by joining this will answer their key issues and empower them to do better at their jobs.
So the name of the group is...
The name is not just important for the target audience, but it's also important to galvanize you and focus you. As a business, your name reminds you every single day why you set up your group. Every single day when you wake up and go into your group, that name tells you what you should do. It's your guiding light. And your audience obviously is attracted to it. So both parties work. The vendor work benefits by having a very focused positioning statement that effectively funnels their activity the right way. And the audience loves the name because it serves their needs. You also have to consider when setting up a group, do you make it open or closed? And I always advocate and recommend setting up closed groups and then one day opening them up. And the reason you want to keep them closed to begin with is very few people open groups or establish groups with expertise in groups to begin with. You learn on the job often. Therefore, a closed group allows you to contain the quality of the group and contain any quote-unquote damage, so off-topic posts or inappropriate comments or anything that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Not that it happens a lot. Groups, usually people don't make bad mistakes, but anything that could be considered awkward or off-topic can be contained with a closed group because there's only selected members. But when you've established your expertise in group building and you understand how to moderate and how to ensure topics are on brief and the group is running well, then at that point you should consider opening it up, making it an open group.
Because how does it get started?
Well, the first people you should invite to your group, or the first people to establish it, should be your own company people. I recommend starting it up with maybe 10 people, not too many. You don't need that many, just maybe 5 or 10 select people from your company. Mm-hmm. And it's like a cake. It has different layers. The second layer after your first 5 or 10 company people would be to start inviting your closest business partners and your closest clients, mm-hmm. and telling them that this is a new group. It's tiny, there's lots of tumbleweed going on, but as partners and clients, they're so close to you and you love them so much and respect them so much that you want them in this group at the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a compliment to any person who's invited at this very early stage, so long as you manage their expectations. So you bring in the second layer of the cake, which is your closest partners and closest clients.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a party. Now you have an actual discussion that involves both your company and others who are not part of your company.
Mm-hmm.
And you start introducing content. You might introduce a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might share an article with your own editorialized insight around it and ask the group to participate.
Mm-hmm.
As you build the second layer, you then are ready to introduce the third layer, which is your actual prospects. And at this point, business prospects, I mean, people
yes.
that you actually are actively pursuing. So this could be existing clients that you want to build further business with, who are important clients, but ones that you realize require significantly more business development.
Mm-hmm.
Or greenfield prospects with whom you've never worked but would love to one day,
mm-hmm.
and you identify people that you can invite to the group because you believe that the group's name and topics will be of particular relevance and interest to them.
How can we promote the LinkedIn group and get the target audience to join and participate?
So there are two different questions. The promotion of the group, you would put it in your website. You would include it in your email signatures, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
The the LinkedIn company page that you own might share it once in a while to remind followers of the existence of the group. You might tweet it out one day from the company account. And maybe you do an EDM to your clients. As you launch the group, you make an announcement that you're very excited about announcing the group to your clients and getting them to join. So there's many ways to promote a group, but once you have the group, the keys to getting members to participate is to remember first that members don't participate. They are too busy. They either feel shy because they don't want to sound silly by posting something that the group laughs at. You'd be surprised at how many people actually feel that shyness and concern about their personal brand. It's very valid, very human thing to not want to sound silly in front of a group of people. Or they're too busy, or they didn't see your content. They weren't prompted. So there's many reasons why most members don't participate. I estimate that only between 2 to 5% of members in any group actually participate at least once a month. So the keys to engagement are to actually treat the group as if you were having a party at your own house. As the host, you would walk around asking people questions. How are you doing? Are you having a good time? Maybe introducing that person to someone else. Maybe shouting out to everyone, hey, everybody, we now have a cocktail hour, and getting the group to move in one direction. So group management, that's a silly example I'm using, but group management does resemble that. You need to share topics that are interesting and maybe prompt discussion. Or in many ways, you have to approach people individually and prompt them individually to come to the group and answer a particular topic, which you might link in your email. And you might even say to the person, hey, I'm aware of your background in this area, and here's a topic that was just posted. You would be particularly relevant here to provide your own commentary. So group management is not easy. It's the equivalent of being a host. You have to work hard and sweat at making sure your guests are looked after, they are cajoled, they are praised, they are engaged. Just like in real life, it's the same principle in a group. And those groups that have that work, members participate.
Sort of inviting somebody to answer a question. So it's like bringing them into the party.
Absolutely.
The big question is, how does, by having this group, this LinkedIn group, how does it then generate sales leads and ultimately revenue, which is what every business is wanting to do?
Well, there's two ways. First of all, it doesn't create revenue directly. That's unusual in a business-to-business environment. You need to have meetings, and maybe two or three meetings. In each meeting, push the purchasing cycle, or push the sale forward, or reduce the purchasing cycle. Mm-hmm. So instead, we focus on a proxy for revenue. The proxy is leads. Leads are a proxy for pipeline and revenue. So the real question for any business owner is not how do I generate revenue, but how do I generate leads with people that I can tell from their background and their profile are exactly the right prospects for me? And the first answer is make sure those you invite to the group, you've already eyeballed them and made sure through their profile reviews they are the right people to invite. If you do that, already 80% of your problem is gone. You've got the right people at this group. You know, you've invited the right people at your party. This is exactly what you should be doing. Secondly, lead generation happens in two ways, inbound and outbound. Outbound takes place when you reach out via the group to each member and you ask them for a meeting. And asking them for a meeting as soon as they join would be potentially rude and maybe irrelevant. But if they join the group and you've prompted them to comment in the past and they've commented, maybe you've even participated in a discussion with them, that type of group interaction resembles real life interaction. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to become familiar with the group member, build trust, and maybe even grow need for the solution that your topics discuss and the group represents. So what's happening here is the real life relationship building via the group. So when you reach out for meetings and you explain to the person you're reaching out to that they're in your group and you've even interacted, your meeting success rate, as in the number of meetings that you that are accepted by your buyer, are quite high as a ratio because people are familiar and trust you. So outbound lead generation, Adrienne, is a key part of LinkedIn groups. You must reach out and ask people to meet and use those meetings as sales meetings where you can actually close a deal eventually. The other way is inbound. Inbound lead generation takes place in two ways. First, when you share content in the group, that content sometimes is your own content, your own organization's content. So when your members click on it and they're pulled into your site so they can consume that content, at that moment, if your website is built in a manner that pushes traffic into a lead funnel, as in they download a report but they have to register their details, or if they fill out an inquiry form, this is an example of website architecture pushing through traffic and turning them or converting them into leads, inbound leads. Second way of inbound is LinkedIn groups allow the owners to send free emails once a week to all their members. It's a fantastic feature. It's called LinkedIn group announcements. And once a week, you can use it as an owner to send out free announcements. And imagine that being EDM, but we call that social EDM because it's fully social. The group owner basically says, hey, everybody, here's the latest announcement. And that announcement can click or link to white papers you have or to seminars you're running or to any other topic you choose to push your members toward as a landing page. And members aren't really pushed in the traditional hard sense. Literally, this is the group owner announcing something which members find relevant and are quite happy to click through to and consume. So these are the two ways, Adrienne, that LinkedIn groups enable lead generation.
Yes, I can see that that's really a specific target if you can send an email out.
We know that email works, and email that is contained within a social asset like a group is the ultimate confluence of social and email. This is really social email, social EDM. Or social email marketing, if you will.
So how long does it take to sort of get that activity going after the initial building of the group, the dynamic of the group? How long does that sort of take to get it working well?
It depends on the interactions. The more member comments are produced, so the more members comment, the more frequent the comments, the richer they are, the more interaction between group managers and members, that frequency and contextual richness of discussion accelerates relationships or familiarity and trust. So it really, there is no hard answer. The only answer is, you know, as a host, when your guests are ready for you to approach them. You know from the way they behave, the clues they leave, their digital body language. And a group is no different. If you are a caring and focused group owner and manager, after a certain number of comments have been registered and topics have been shared, interactions have taken place, you can pretty much tell when one of your group managers may reach out to a member and introduce themselves and ask for a meeting. As for inbound lead generation, well, you can begin conducting social EDM 1 week into your group. And as for content sharing and inbound lead generation through content, shared and clicked on, again, within the first week.
Well, I'm very excited now. I'm going to go and get going on creating a LinkedIn group. There seems to be so many advantages.
Well, there are, but I need to caution that groups are hard work. They're not a magic pill. They're not a silver bullet. They are phenomenal assets from a payoff perspective. So on the other end, they're phenomenal. I liken groups to a jumbo airliner. When they take off, they're in the sky. They're amazing assets. They work well. They continue to grow. Members comment. Participation thrives. Group managers benefit by producing inbound, outbound leads. But until that jumbo airliner is in the sky, the time it takes to get it off, launched, can be a while. You might find that it takes you 1 or 2 months before a group actually has enough members to generate enough participation. You might find that it takes 3 months, especially if you have you're in a bigger organization and there's politics or there's other projects that take precedence. Groups can take a while to really prove their value, and many people give up on them, and many organizations just put them on the back burner because they're too hard. But if you persist and get critical mass, and I estimate critical mass to be about 300 members, by the way, Adrienne, but 300 members, you start to see that takeoff of the asset. So I would recommend to everybody to persist, but it is hard work.
Now, Tom, I ask each of our guests this. As a business owner, what is your advice about promoting a business by speaking?
Well, I love speaking, and for many reasons. First of all, the giving side. You really have to believe in giving value to your audience. I'm quite a pragmatic guy, but I still believe in karma and paying it forward, and just the energy of just giving people insights at a large level and speaking and maybe inspiring some people. There's something great about it, and I find that it always comes back and helps you. So long as your speaking is about helping others. Again, not approaching this from, I'm not Mother Teresa, I'm an agency owner and very commercially focused, but I do believe in that positive energy and luck that public speaking brings to your audience if you know your topic and back to you. I also think from a commercial side, public speaking allows you to conduct business development with dozens of people within 1 hour. So rather than having to do meetings with 50 people separately, public speaking is an extremely scalable business development activity for business owners and others in sales to get their message out very efficiently. So public speaking, I'm passionate about it, and I think every business should invest in this area.
Fantastic. Thank you. And then would you like to give us a bit of background about Skatidas and what the B2B social media lead generation group is about?
Sure. So I founded Skatidas, which is eponymous, my agency, back in 2011 in April, actually April Fool's Day, 2011. And we work with global brands today, very large B2B organizations. Our obsessive focus is working with their marketing teams to identify people in their sales and pre-sales and business development organizations and account management organizations. Anyone who's customer-facing or prospect-facing marketing teams in my agency identify these people in their organizations, help build their profiles, and connect with their buyers and share content that enriches their buyer's experience and allows that brand building and demand generation to enable the salespeople to generate leads inbound and outbound. So I guess you could say my agency is about using personal brand development to enable salespeople to hit their targets and meet decision makers. And I'm really passionate about doing that because it means personal brands change forever. And my purpose, I suppose, is helping people build extraordinary personal brands so they can achieve their dreams. And the B2B social media lead generation group is a group that is free to join, and it is full of content around generating B2B leads through social media, about social selling, about social media marketing for B2B people. And we're up to 4,200 members around there, and it's a great community, and it's active, and it's one of my proudest assets.
I'm a member of your group, and some of the discussions, or a lot of the discussions, are so interesting about around social media and the use of social media. I find it a real asset to refer to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for your time and expertise today. It was absolutely fascinating to hear your approach with establishing LinkedIn groups and how important they can be with lead generation. It will, I'm sure it will be a great asset for people to listen to and to, you know, to get an understanding about the benefits of a LinkedIn group is really important. So thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure, Adrienne. Thank you for the invitation.
Okay. Well, that completes our Friday forum today. Thank you so much to Tom Skatidis. And our next Friday forum is on the 30th of May. We look forward to seeing you then. Bye for now.